Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Tuesday, September 26, 2023. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And we got five articles to go through today. Now, was there more cyber stuff that happened overnight? Sure. These are just the key ones I want to kind of focus on. So all the links to these articles are in the show notes, and you can certainly go read more about them, find certainly other news from other areas. And as always, if you have tips or thoughts, or you're aware of some kind of cyber incident, hit me up on LinkedIn, send me an email, and I will try to include it in the next morning's news brief. So let's get right into it. This is from bleepingcomputer.com, Bill Tolis reporting. BORN, which stands for Better Outcomes Registry and Network, an Ontario, Canada child registry had a data breach that affects 3.4 million people. The BORN, a healthcare organization funded by the government of Ontario, has announced it is among the victims of Clop Ransomware's MOVEit hacking spree. So this is just another MOVEit victim. So again, if you are a company using MOVEit, there are three vulnerabilities you need to patch. Hopefully you have patched them. If not, then there is a zero-day vulnerability within your network that can cause this to happen to you. BORN is a perinatal and child registry that collects, interprets, shares, and protects critical data about pregnancy, birth, and childhood in the province of Ontario. An investigation revealed threat actors copied files containing sensitive information of approximately 3.4 million people, primarily newborns and pregnancy care patients who benefited from BORN services between January 2010 and May 2023. That is a lot of data. The exposed data includes full name, home address, postal code, date of birth, health care card number, possibly dates of service and care, lab test results, pregnancy risk factors, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So a lot of personal information stolen on this one. Why is it important? Because healthcare, which used to be kind of off limits to cyber criminals, especially those who do ransomware, is no longer the case. And so if you are a healthcare provider, if you work in the healthcare field, ideally your organization is aware of this kind of intelligence and this kind of stuff going on. But I mean, obviously, as with many companies, cybersecurity, the ability to acquire and digest and do things with cyber intelligence costs money. And a lot of companies don't do it. And this is just another example that no industry is immune from these type of attacks. And if we really need to help, especially these kind of organizations, I'm not sure if this is some kind of nonprofit. Well, it's funded by the government of Ontario, so not a nonprofit per se, but this and nonprofits certainly are victims of these kind of attacks. And then the bad guys don't care. They are going to steal your data, put ransomware on your network, and then demand money to get all the stuff back, and chances are it will be released anyway. From Malwarebytes, a ransomware group claims it's compromised all of Sony systems. This is from Mark Stockley reporting. Newcomer ransomware group Ransom VC. Now, it's a newcomer. Chances are it has a lot of old players, probably R-Evil and some of the other ransomware groups that have gone under recently. Probably they just created a new name. They claim to have successfully compromised the computer systems of entertainment giant Sony. And unfortunately for Sony, this is the second hack for them. Several years ago, actually 2013, 2014, I might have the date wrong, but they were hit by North Korean hackers rather, because of the movie. Oh, what was that movie? Hold on, let me check this real quick. Korean hackers, Sony. How about this live intelligence gathering right here on the whatever? Okay, so 2014, it was, the name of the movie was The Interview. And obviously North Korea went in and stole all sorts of data. People got fired. It was quite a to-do, if you will. But in this case, again, Sony data is compromised. There's actually a picture of what it looks like. The ransomware page there. What are they asking for? I didn't say on that one, but basically the announcement says Sony's data is for sale. So again, ransomware group went in, probably were on there for quite a while, Dwell time for bad guys on networks is in the vicinity of averaging 300 days. So they're in there for a while, still a bunch of data. Then encrypted it and say, hey, here we go. So this is the announcement. It says Sony Group Corporation, formerly Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Corporation. I did not know that. And Sony Corporation, we have successfully compromised all of Sony systems. We won't ransom there. We will sell the data due to Sony not wanting to pay. Data is for sale. Sony has yet to comment on the matter. It's important to understand that we only have one side of the story, and that side comes from the group of criminals. So it's possible. So I believe I saw something late earlier today that that Sony claims they were not compromised. The problem here is there's a bunch of different news sources now listing this article, which indicates something bad certainly happened. If Sony has been breached, then its customers will be understandably concerned to safeguard their data. With information so thin on the ground, it's too early to offer specific advice, but we suggest you read our guide. This is from Malwarebytes. There's a guide you can go read if you're involved in a data breach. Much like the MGM and Caesars hack from several weeks ago, this will drip, drip, drip all week. And I'm sure there will be more news about this particular compromise, this particular ransomware issue as we go forward. So if you own Sony TVs, Sony whatever, Sony cameras, and you have an account with Sony, your data has now been stolen and is out there. So again, check your passwords, make sure you're using different passwords. Wherever you have a login for anything, use the password manager, create a strong password, and turn on multi-factor authentication. All right, the next couple are largely opinion pieces, but I thought they were interesting to note. This is from themessenger.com, and it says, the first winners of the AI boom are cyber criminals. Well, to that, I have to say this. Welcome to the party, pal. We all knew cyber criminals would be the first winners of the AI boom, but taking a look at this particular article, the writers are Patrick Haar and Brian Finch. The latest generation of generative AI stunned the world with the ability to rapidly generate written works, ranging from political speeches and legal research to television scripts that are virtually indistinguishable from ones generated by the human hand. That might be a stretch. The impressive performance of generative AI tools has convinced many, and especially investors, that the long-predicted artificial intelligence revolution has finally arrived. Funds have been pouring in to companies that are involved in AI, but hackers across the globe appear to have already successfully integrated generative AI tools into their criminal organizations, as those of us in the field knew they would, because criminals always figure out first how to use technology. Hacker groups are, for example, successfully leveraging ChatGPT-like generative AI tools to vastly improve the effectiveness of their phishing attacks. Such attacks, of course, are used by hackers to send messages intended to fraudulently convince a victim to share vulnerable information or activate malicious code. I say that all the time. This is how bad guys get in: social engineering, phishing attacks. There is certainly hacking using compromising vulnerabilities like the MOVEit vulnerability. But for the most part, they're using simple methodologies. ChatGPT and things like it create much more convincing emails that are devoid of bad grammar, bad English. They will look legitimate, and people who don't know any better will click on links, open attachments, and bad things will happen. Ideally for the bad guys, these will happen on corporate networks because that's where more money is. So we will certainly see, and probably are already seeing, a huge uptick of phishing attacks being successful because of the ability of generative AI tools to create these phishing emails. Hopefully the blue teamers or the defenders will come up with ways to mitigate them by coming up with generative AI created defense tools that will recognize such attacks, but I don't think we're there yet. So this just goes to show you have to be even more diligent with your employees and with your own personal information to be careful about what you get in email, how you click on it. Chances are generative AI will be able to get around a lot of different phishing tools that companies buy to try to prevent these kind of things, but they are still going to get through. So again, this is more for awareness. More on this. There's a lot more on this article. I highly recommend you go read it. It's probably a 2 or 3 minute read, but pretty good information in there. From cyberscoop.com, this is Christian Vasquez reporting how the cult of the dead cow plans to save the internet. The headline alone got me, quite honestly. So the original hacking supergroup is trying to design tools to rebuild the internet from the ground up. The modern internet is terrible, a no good privacy nightmare, and we should probably start over. Well, that's pretty hyperbolistic. At least that's the argument that spawned the latest project from the cult of the dead cow. While the internet is made up of more than Facebook, Google, and the app formerly known as Twitter, these platforms make up the bulk of internet for most users' experience, or as most users experience it, and advertising-based models of these firms means that privacy features are often a mere tool in delivering highly targeted advertising. So what exactly as they do now, who is the cult of the dead cow? They are known as the original hacking supergroup. They have a long history of building technical tools aimed at preserving user privacy and security. Some of them have gone on to be advisors to presidents. There's a lot of members that are, you know, basically kind of gray hatters that try to help, honestly. But what else? So this says the project roughly began 4 years ago when members approached members about a project to create a new private social media and messaging service. The members had most of the technical details figured out, but worried about how to address the safety concerns of developing tools to build encrypted surveillance-resistant applications. So they're talking about Caitlin Bowden here. I know her. I interviewed her at the Cyber Summit 2 years ago. I used to work with her husband. But Caitlin Bowden is founder of Badass, an advocacy group that works against non-consensual pornography. She does good work in that field, but she's part of the Cult of the Dead Cow, and she is working to try to help create these kind of tools. Will it be useful? Hard to say. How are they going to get there? Hard to say. How are they going to do it? Hard to say. But something to keep track of is what they do with this. So, you know, you may see more of this, and I just kind of highlight this for your reading pleasure. It's a pretty long article. Well, not that long, but longer than I have to read it here. But again, I suggest you go look at this. It's interesting how the Cult of the Dead Cow plans to save the internet by cyberscoop.com. And finally, Hacker News. Are you willing to pay the high cost of compromised credentials? Again, a good headline because it dragged me in. But it makes a good point. Weak password policies leave organizations vulnerable to attacks, but are the standard password complexity requirements enough to secure them? Here's an interesting stat. 83% of compromised passwords would satisfy the password complexity and length requirements of compliance standards. That's because bad actors already have access to billions of stolen credentials that can be used to compromise additional accounts by reusing those same credentials. In other words, people come up with a good password, but they use it everywhere. And ultimately, it's used on a site that is compromised, that doesn't have good back-end security that encrypts the password correctly, and the bad guys now have access. I suggest you look at the Yahoo breach. 3 billion user credentials compromised, and chances are a majority of those people are still using the same password they use at Yahoo. So they talk about credit stuffing a little bit. Credit stuffing is a popular attack method due to the minimal effort required for maximum financial gains. So much so that there have been 6 times as many credentials being stolen and sold in the last year alone. Basically, what credential stuffing is, they go to a site and they look at all of the credentials they have of your email, and they try a variety of different of those credentials to see which one works. And it's estimated, this is an interesting stat, it's estimated that 111 million cyber attacks occur each day. For every 1 million combinations of emails and passwords, attackers can potentially compromise between 10,000 and 30,000 accounts. So if it's basically what they're saying here is that the passwords are accessible, even though they're supposed to be encrypted. So if there's 111 million cyber attacks every day, and you're getting 10 to 30,000 legitimate credentials from every 1 million. So you take 111, multiply that by 10,000, or 111 by 10,000 is 1.11 million to 3.33 million legitimate credentials compromised on a daily basis. I might be getting that math wrong, so a math person can certainly correct me, but certainly that is a problem going forward. So I have just noticed I am at the 13-minute mark, so I need to kind of wrap this up. So those are the news headlines for today. Feel free to go take a look at them, read more on them if you want, because knowledge is protection. The more we can understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. To contact me, find me on LinkedIn, so all the social media places. Substack, I'm starting to do some more writing on Substack, so find me there. Just look for the Cyber Guy. Cyber spelled C-Y-B-U-R. You'll find me everywhere. Feel free to email me. I'll put the email in the show notes as well if you're so inclined to send information. Tell me I'm doing a lousy job, or tell me I'm doing a good job. That'd be nice for someone to say, hey, I like what you're doing. Keep doing it. I appreciate those who are sharing the podcast for others. I apologize. This one's a little longer than usual. I kind of got a little diarrhea of the mouth there. Again, as I like to say, we're here for good time, not a long time, and starting to get a little long here. So I'm going to wrap it up here. We will talk again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day, because if you get a little cyber smarter, you'll get a whole lot cyber safer.
Cyber Smart Morning News is written and produced by Cyber Guy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.